Amen. Good to have you in the evening service tonight. Hope that you've had a good day in the Lord. And things are melting, aren't they? We're kind of getting back to spring weather. They say Friday is going to be 62 degrees. I don't know about that. I was going to ask Brother Joe if I could take his boat out and go water skiing on Friday just to enjoy some summer. And so, but we do want to just give you some things to open up. First of all, I just need to meet with the deacons for about 10 minutes after the service tonight, gentlemen, if you could meet in my office. Just a couple things to update you on. And then if you missed the homeschool meeting tonight and you are homeschooling or you're thinking about homeschooling in the future, please see Pastor Jared. There's some notes for you to get with some upcoming meetings about really the direction of that ministry that we want you to be aware of as we plan to do some restructure and some improvements. We're excited about that. But please see Pastor Jared about that. Let me give you two updates on the prayer sheet tonight, the prayer bulletin. Just a reminder, if you have a prayer request and you would like it placed in the bulletin, please text or email Tammy Henricks. And her email address is always at the bottom of the bulletin, okay? So you can use that. She usually waits till Wednesday morning to finish that up. And so if you want to get something into the prayer bulletin, please make sure that you do that. Then secondly, requests for physical needs will be kept in the prayer bulletin for 2 weeks, and they will be removed unless requested otherwise. Or you understand, if we just keep everything forever, we'll have pages of prayer bulletin after a while. And so please, please be reminded of those things as we start the new year and working through a little different plan there in the different areas, and we'll do that again tonight. And so please be reminded of that on that front. A couple of things coming up. One of the things is in the next couple of weeks, I will be reviewing our prayer chain ministry and just be going over some of the details of that, reminding all of us that are part of that, just some basic information about that. And then this coming Sunday night, we will be working through the prayer guide, the prayer weekly guide tablet that we've got for you. And so you'll get that on Sunday night. And we'll just talk through how to use that in your weekly life with the Lord. And so you'll get that on Wednesday, or on Sunday night, I should say. All right? I don't think I have anything else that I need to get to you. I'll give you some prayer request updates a little later. We do want to thank Sandy Hefner. So Sandy takes copious notes of all the prayer requests, and then Justin Hine copies those notes, and then he takes it to everybody in all the other ministries on Wednesday night. So everybody stays updated on all the requests and praises that are given. And we want to thank these people for helping us to circulate those things into the other areas. All right? Stand with me tonight. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Good to have my father back in the services and better, and they're getting ready to leave on Friday. Remember, their meeting's out in California for a couple of weeks. And Dad, I'm going to ask you to lead out in prayer tonight. Would you do that? Man, take your songbooks, let's sing together.
Hymn number 130. When I survey the wondrous cross, I will sing first and the last. good singing tonight. You may be seated.
We now have a special. Well, we've got a few announcements tonight to go through, so let me get all my papers. First of all, First of all, if you missed the hospitality meeting, I believe that was this past Sunday. If you missed the hospitality meeting and would like to know more or sign up to host a meal, please see my dear bride, Miss Tammy, and she can help you with that. Then you got your printed announcement sheet. We just need to highlight some things on there. Don't forget giving reports. If you would like a giving report, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer notebook. Just sign your number up. We don't giving is completely anonymous. We do things by number, so none of us know what anybody gives. That's between you and the Lord, but we do keep track by number if you want want us to do so, we do that. So if you'd like a giving report, sign up, and then they'll be available starting the 4th of February. We've got an upcoming baptismal, and that baptismal is Sunday, February 18th, and so if you are a baptismal candidate or know of a baptismal candidate, they do need to see Brad Peters about that. Then also, the Pine Car Derby, and I want to make sure everybody knows, the Pine Car Derby, in the past we've done it, it's been a Master's Club Pine Car Derby, but this is a Mount Zion Baptist Church Pine Car Derby, okay? And it's for the whole church. And even if you're not going to come out and race a car, come out and enjoy some fellowship and some cheap food. Of course, food will be for sale like we've done in the past with the volleyball fellowships. So it's inexpensive, and it's really good health food. I promise you that. French fries are healthy, okay? Nachos are healthy. And so just come out and enjoy a day of fellowship and fun. You can see the details there on your announcement sheet. If you are going to participate in the racing aspect, you can get a pine car kit from the bookstore on Wednesday nights, or you can see me about that, or Miss Hilda about that, and then also sign up in the foyer notebook so we can get it all organized. We're going to be taking the few days before that to get everything set up in the annex for that, but we'll make announcement about that. And speaking of annex, just a housekeeping note. You know, we've got some classrooms back there. We've got our outreach room. We've got a classroom. We've got the handbells room and the teen Sunday school class. Just help us out by cleaning up any messes that. If you make a mess, clean it up, and we try and keep those rooms set for what they're used for. So we got two classrooms, we got the handbells room, we got the outreach room. So just if you can help us out with that, that would be great. We try and keep those things set for those activities. Also, the Sweetheart Banquet's coming up, so we've got the couples retreat, and many of you signed up for that, but we got a Sweetheart Banquet, and that is Friday, February 16th, it's down here in our annex. It'll be catered. We got Mission Barbecue coming in for that. It's $25 a couple. If you want to take advantage of that and bring your bride or bring your husband or drag your husband there, okay, sign up in the foyer notebook so we know you're coming. You can put payment in a green envelope, put it in the offering tray, label it Sweetheart Banquet with your name, and it'll be a good time, as it always is. Then we've got some upcoming meetings. Of course, deacons, pastor needs to meet with you right after this service, okay? So meet with the deacons. This coming Sunday, January 28th, we have an usher and watchman meeting. So just a combined meeting, all the ushers, all the watchmen, down to room number one, just to review procedures and so forth. And then in room number five is the York County Youth Development Center ministry meeting, okay? So that's in room number five at the same time, 5:45 p.m. this Sunday. And then, let me see, I think that's good. Also, Eric Haywood has, it's petitions, all right? It's petitions to sign to get candidates on the voting ballot. That's correct, okay? And, I want to make sure everybody knows that he's got those. Please see him. This year we've got elections. We need to be praying for those elections. But we need to be voting in those elections, okay? And so we need to be praying about getting the right candidates on those ballots. And so Eric Haywood's got those. He'll have them for a couple weeks, I think, and that's about it. But we got to get some good candidates on those ballots. So please see him, sign those things. And I believe Mr. Eric Haywood's working on an informational meeting night, okay, about that, maybe with some of those candidates, just to get information to us, okay? So we need to know, and we need to be praying. And so all of that is happening. So please be aware of those things. Well, for our missions minute tonight, we have a thank you note from the DeSantises, and thank you for your continual love and support for our family. We appreciate the extra Christmas support, and also always remembering our birthdays. So the card ministry is so important. This means a lot to us that you take the time even to scan them in and email birthday cards. So all of the communication, the cards, the letters when we were writing to our missionaries, all very important to all of our missionaries. You are such a blessing to our family in so many ways. Love in Christ, the DeSantis family, and all of them signed it. So they wanted to say thank you to you all. Then also the Kim family to China, I just bring them up because they said thank you for the Christmas gift. They really enjoyed that. It was a blessing to them. But the opening service of Shenyang Baptist Church is coming up on the 28th. Okay, so this is a church. So he's been doing Bible studies with some nationals there and getting ready to start this church, officially start this church. Now, I don't know all the details because of where they're at and how this works. So we need to be praying for them, okay? That's going to start on January 28th. That's right around the corner. So be praying for the Kims and that church. And then if you get a chance, I would highly encourage you to get a missionary letter packet and the letter from the Brackets. Now, where are the Brackets at?
Argentina.
So this letter is chock full of people to be praying for. There's three people preparing for baptism and three others who have mentioned a desire to be baptized. So things are going on there. Pray for Ambar, a young teen who is planning to be baptized. And then he says her father is unsaved. Her mother is a Christian, but very far from the Lord. So through a baptismal service, God can work, okay? Pray for Enrique, okay? He's an unsaved man. We've got unsaved people on our prayer list. Enrique is an unsaved man. He's been coming to the church. Pray for his salvation. And I could go on and on about the names that are in here to pray for. He also writes about, they had a special emphasis on missions, and their church there presently supports two different missionary families. So as we support them, they support other missionaries. It's exciting to think about. So be praying for that. Pick up that letter up, read through that, but be praying for the Brackets and all of these names there in Argentina. All right, take your songbooks. We'll sing.
You can remain seated. Hymn number 164, Nothing But the Blood, 164. Again, we'll sing the first and the last.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other path I know. Nothing but the blood of
have your prayer bulletins, go ahead and take those out, and we'll work through them as we did last week, just through the different sections. Remind you that there's a couple personal sections on there for you to think through as far as petition and asking God for your needs individually. Remember, give us this day our daily bread. We need to depend upon God for our daily needs. And then confession, agreeing with God about my sin. And if there's something that God brings to your heart tonight, you need to ask for forgiveness for. Certainly it's good to ask questions to the Lord in these areas. We have praise and thanksgiving, and then a number of areas of different areas of intercession, and then we'll go to prayer tonight. If you have something that you would like to share as a praise, that is something that you would like to remember about who God is, why don't you raise your hand and we'll start with those tonight. Anybody with a praise? Brother Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Good testimony tonight from Brother Bobby, seeing God's hand in all those appointments. Somebody else with a testimony tonight of praise, something that you would like to praise God for.
God, I'm not quite sure how to get that fixed. And our neighbor, she texted me and she said, do you want my husband to get the parts to fix your mailbox? And when I came home this morning, lo and behold, there was a mailbox. He cut off the post. He got the mailbox and he put it on. And I just praise the Lord because he is my provider and he knows exactly how to take care of it. And I want to really praise him. How that was just a wow. When
Amen.
I saw that, how God uses people that you hardly even know to provide for you. So I really praise him for it.
Amen. Amen. All right. Up here, Steve Krukar had his hand up. All right. Praise tonight.
I'd like to praise the Lord for the courage that quite a number of Christians have to stand up for constitutional and moral righteousness and state government. Very specifically, I'd like to thank God for a gentleman named William Riel. He is basically a expert in the Pennsylvania Constitution. He basically wrote letters and drafted documents that I and about 10 other people at the state capitol yesterday passed out to state legislatures, as well as members of the Supreme Court, as well as members of the executive branch, including the governor and lieutenant governor, calling them into accountable or constitutional accountability. And I just praise God that someone like William Riel is willing to stand up and that others are willing to work with him to try to bring that accountability, which is desperately needed here. Because without that, we have a government that's extremely corrupt, and we're trying to remedy that.
Amen. Amen. All right. Another praise. You want to thank God for who He is tonight, all right? Time of praise as we open our prayer time. Esther?
I just want to praise the Lord just for being all-knowing and also that He knows His plans are best and they're way better than anything I can come up with. And also, I guess this kind of goes into the Thanksgiving as well. But also, the Lord did provide a job for me, definitely not the way I thought. And my poor grandma, hopefully she didn't have to break both of her wrists just to have, for me to have a job. But in case y'all didn't know, I am caregiving for her full-time. So, but praise the Lord just that I can rest in His plans for me and that He's not going to make a mistake and I can trust Him.
Amen. Amen. Can trust God in the caregiving of her grandmother and that God's providing work for her there. And God's all-knowing, isn't He? He knows everything. And that's a comfort where we're at. Somebody else tonight? Anybody else with a praise before we move on to Thanksgiving? All right, let's move on to Thanksgiving. Something God has done for you this week in answered prayer. Anybody with something like that tonight? We'll start with that. Grace right up here, Brother Dave.
I have to thank the Lord for answering one of my unspoken prayers.
Okay.
It's not necessarily what I wanted, the answer what I wanted, but again, God is an all-knowing God, and He knows, of course He knows everything, but I praise the Lord for answering.
Amen. Amen. Answered prayer for grace, an unspoken request that was answered. Anybody else with a or something you want to thank the Lord for? Over here, Gretna.
I'm just thankful for the sufficiencies of God. I'm just thankful that our sufficiency is of God.
Amen. Amen. Our sufficiency is of God. We are not self-sufficient, but we have all sufficiency with an all-sufficient God. Anybody else with a testimony of Thanksgiving tonight? Something God has done that you've been praying about? Sandy in the back, Brother Sean.
There was a circumstance in the newspaper I saw of a passing of a lady from Dallastown Nursing Center. And I asked my sister, because she used to work there, I said, did you know this lady? She said, oh, yes. She said, and I know her husband. I said, well, I worked for her husband. She said, is that right? I said, yes. She said, would you like to go see him with me? And I said, well, sure. So we went today. This man's name is Michael. Please pray for him. He's a Jew. She said, I know you. She said, you're a Jew. And he said, yes. And she said, did you ever accept the Lord as your Savior? And of course, no. So she stepped away. And I had talked to the Lord about it before this time I was going to see him. And the scripture in, I'm so excited I can't think straight, but in Isaiah 53, I quoted Isaiah 53, and I presented my testimony of how I had come to Christ when I was 47 years old and told him all the circumstances thereof and assured him of, you know, God's love for us and how we're sinners. And all we need to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he did come and that he did die for our sins. He was buried, rose again the third day. I said, and I told God I believed in him, but I didn't know how to talk to him. I said, and I came to church and I heard the gospel and I got saved. And I said, I'm just sharing that with you, Michael. I said, now when I die, I'll go to heaven. I know there's two places we'll go. We have a never dying soul. And if we accept Christ as our Savior, we will go to heaven when we die. And he thanked me when I was done. And so that's it.
Amen.
May the Lord mark in his heart. And I asked him if we could come back again and visit him. He said, yes.
Amen. Amen. Pray for Michael, a Jew that Sandy got an opportunity to give the gospel to today and her testimony as well. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody else. Somebody else with a thanksgiving. Anything to thank the Lord for before we move on? Brother Jim and then Brother Mark up here. Where are you?
Okay. I thank the Lord we were able to get our ambassador activity in. I was pleased that we had so many participating. And I thank the Lord that Joe gave a wonderful challenge to get our focus on the right things and focus on the Lord.
Amen. Amen. A good number out for ambassadors yesterday, and that was very encouraging. You should know this. We pray for people's jobs. We still have some people on here that you can see we're praying for. But over the weekend, since last Tuesday or Wednesday, let's see, Bobby got a job offer, and Justin got a job offer. And you remember the Shirk family was here on Sunday, and he had two interviews on Monday. And he called me Tuesday and said, I've got a job offer in the area. And so that's three men, breadwinners, that God said, I'll get you a job. And I want to praise God for that. We pray for those opportunities for our men and thank God for them. All right? Somebody else. Who else has a testimony? Brother Mark, go ahead. Amen. 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 They prayed for wisdom for a car, and that's able to get one, and good news there. All right, let's move on. Unspoken request tonight. If you have an unspoken request, we're just following the prayer sheet, so you can go right down the prayer sheet, look around, write some names down. All right, now we're going to miscellaneous requests. If you have a miscellaneous request that doesn't fit into any of the categories, but you have something like that tonight that you'd like prayed for, would you raise your hand? And we'll take those. Tabitha over here to my left.
Yes, so both of my girls have national titles with Miss Agriculture USA, and part of that is that they're expected to be at the national competition with lots of duties and responsibilities there. This year they moved the date and it falls on camp week. And when we found this out, my girls were just crying, and I told them to just pray that God shows them what to do, and I really wanted the Lord to do a work in their heart. And they both came to me and said that they're going to camp, they're not going to nationals, so I have to make the phone call. And if you could just pray that that goes smoothly. And I tried to set up a phone call for this week, and I still haven't heard back, but just a smooth phone call and wisdom, and that no matter what the reaction is, that the girls just see that God's going to honor their decision.
Yep, yep. Amen. All right. Anybody else with a miscellaneous request before we go to lost people you know or have witnessed to? Anybody else with a miscellaneous request? All right. Up here, Brother Steve.
My miscellaneous request deals with Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. I'm asking people to pray for him. Why? Because the Biden administration right now is coming down on him very hard as he's trying to protect the southern border. Basically, you had the Supreme Court ruling against Greg Abbott this week, allowing for the Border Patrol to cut concertina wire and other barriers that the Texas National Guard had erected. You have Democrat congressmen basically calling that the government, meaning the Biden administration, take over the Texas National Guard. Greg Abbott and the AG Ken Paxton of Texas are resisting, saying, no, we're not going to obey. That's it. We're going to stand on the Constitution. So basically there's a showdown, basically a standoff right now between the state of Texas and the national government with regard to the protection of the border. So please pray that, you know, the Texas officials, Ken Paxton, Attorney General, and Governor Greg Abbott of Texas would stand strong. They're standing strong for all of us because just last month, over 300,000 illegal aliens came through in just December. Last year, about 3 million, and in the last 3 years, 10 to 15 million. Yep. Thank you so much.
Yep. It's going to be a major issue on the ballot this year for president. That's going to be a major issue right there. So pray for the protection of our border tonight. We're moving to the next three categories: lost people, wayward, or family spiritual. Anybody have anything to bring up for prayer in any of those categories tonight? All right, Tabitha, and then Brother Jordan. All right.
Yes, for lost people, you know, if you could please pray for a lady named Jody. She is the woman we met at one of our first reenactments who has all the connections and keeps getting us into the event. I did witness to her, and she gave me a lot of pushback. But then just the other week, she sent me a text that said, you know, I really like you. Your family shares your religion with me, but you don't shove it down my throat. So if you could just pray for her, and at every event we go to, she is there, and that she would receive the gospel.
All right. If you write down under, I would put this under just lost people possibly, I don't know, the family that Sean had here on Sunday. We have an opening to meet with that family this week or next, and we don't know where they're at with the gospel. So please pray for that opportunity with the family that Sean was able to invite and come to church. Brother Jordan, go ahead.
Yes, please pray for my former boss. He was probably my boss for 14 years or so. Dave Basin. Got an opportunity to have breakfast with him this Saturday, and I'd like to share Christ with him. Thank you.
All right. Remember Dave Brayson. This is Jordan's former boss, and this is for salvation, witnessing opportunity on Saturday breakfast. Okay. Sean, go ahead.
Just a note on that family you mentioned. Christina is the one I was talking to first. And she does have a Baptist background from down in the South. But really pray for James. He has like Buddhist and other things in his background. Okay. So like he doesn't have as much of an understanding of the gospel, like even near what she has.
Okay.
I don't know if she's saved or not, but especially for James.
Okay, good. Anybody else on one of these three fronts? Lost people, praying for the wayward, or family spiritual? All right, let's move on. There's ministry spotlights there. Anybody to add to the job list tonight? Anybody that needs added to the job list for prayer? Okay? We're looking at physical for church or physical for families. Physical for church or families. All right? Go ahead, Brother Dave.
Just pray for Emily. She's still dealing with some physical issues and is still kind of under the weather a little bit. On a side note, for me, my job is in the process of going through a layoff, and we don't know all who will be affected yet. Just pray that I'll be able to keep my job.
Pray for protection for Dave Slutz's job as his company is doing some layoffs, and then pray for Emily, who's still dealing with some physical issues. All right? There's one up here. Dave, Bobby's up here, or Sean. And then, Dave, you can get Jim in the back. Bobby, go ahead.
Keep my dad on the prayer list. He's still, well, fighting whatever he has.
Pray for Brother Skip tonight. He's at the top of the church prayer list, all right? Of course, you have Diana Wilbur. You have Pastor Todd's biopsy results we're waiting on. Carol Sponoggle, shingles. Brother Greg Dirks. And then David, I think, is here tonight. David's got surgery coming up on the thumb. Don't forget about that. And Darlene Daugherty with her ear. Brother Jim in the back.
Yes, we missed Harry and Donna on that list.
Yes. Good news, though, on Harry today. He broke another lumbar in his back. That was what the scan revealed on Sunday. He was in bed all day Monday, and Tuesday could not get out of bed. But today, God answered prayer, and he was able to get up and eat lunch at the table. And so please pray for Brother Harry. A lot of pain, but nevertheless, some improvement today. And we thank the Lord for that. All right? Put Harry on the list, if you will, with his back. All right? Anybody else? All right, Darlene, go ahead.
Ashley's mother started chemo this week for her cancer. And also, her grandmother was taken to the hospital today and put in intensive care because her kidneys are shutting down and they don't think she has very long to live.
All right. Remember these prayer requests for Ashley's mother and then her grandmother. Mother started chemo and her grandmother's in really, really bad shape there. So please pray for these requests from Darlene tonight. Anybody else with a physical request? There's some ongoing needs. There's where we have Harry over there and some updates. Jerry Ross reached out to me today. He's in his second CRT cell treatment, started it today, has 28 days consecutive treatment coming up beginning of February. But his wife is supposed to be with him, but she's got a UTI that turned into sepsis, and she's in the hospital an hour away. And he's burdened. And I told him I would bring him before the flock tonight to pray for Brother Ross. We love him. And just a lot going on in his wife's body and his body right now. All right? Let's. Any other requests before we go to prayer tonight? Anybody else? All right. Let's go to prayer. You find somebody to pray with. Pray tonight. And God, we're so glad you hear us. We're so glad we serve a living God. And a God that gives his attention, Lord, bends his ear to us. And God, we read that over and over in Scripture. We're thankful for the privilege of prayer. We're thankful as a church to gather together and pray together and agree in prayer over these matters tonight. And Lord, I just would pray over the whole of the list tonight that, Lord, what you would do for your name's sake. And Lord, as we heard testimonies tonight of your provision and Carol's life by what you did, and Lord, showing Brother Bobby just the greatness of yourself as a physician to coordinate, Lord, so that he didn't have to have multiple surgeries, God, and other requests that have been answered. Lord, you have done things that have highlighted different aspects of your name, and we praise you, Lord, for showing us who you are. And Lord, I pray for the burdens that are private. And I pray for, Lord, the burdens that are public. Lord, may you lift some burdens and cares this week, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and we'll continue our study on a Christian, being a Christian at the workplace. Being a Christian at the workplace. And I would like you
to turn in your Bibles to, I'm dealing with some things here in my chest tonight, but I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. And we've given you a number of those, and maybe some of you have taken notes by way of review. We're to do our work as unto the Lord. And I'm not going to spend any time but give you these main points. We're to be diligent. We're to be hard workers. We're to pursue work. We're to finish what we start. We're to use discretion. Not everything that comes to my mind has to be said at the workplace. Truth of the matter is, most of the time it's better for us to pinch the lips, right, and not say what comes to our mind. We're to practice deference. We're to put that other person at the workplace in front of ourselves, as Abraham practiced with Lot. We're to live out humility, rarely seen in a secular workplace today, that somebody practices humility. We're to lead by honoring others. We looked at that verse of honor all men, and following rules and showing appreciation and communicating clearly and timely and recognizing the value and the contributions of what other individuals bring to the table. We're to keep a good attitude and excellent spirit in our work. By the way, that's not always easy to do. I didn't say all of these were easy to do. I did say that these are biblical qualities that if we'll bring to the workplace, it will enhance the relationships. And then do your best. Do your best. Leave work having known that you did your best. That's important. Then this one, always be honest. Always be honest. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 8 if you would. Philippians chapter 4. And verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I got a question for you. Did you ever read that verse and think about it this way? For everything that I'm commanded to think, Satan has an alternative thought. How does somebody become dishonest? He thinks it. He thinks about being dishonest. The thought comes into his mind not to tell the whole truth. Listen, sometimes people are put in moral dilemmas. Can I give you one during COVID? Some of you had to go to the employer and you had to sign papers that you weren't around somebody that had COVID. Or that you wore a mask in groups of 200 or more. It's ridiculous. But I'll tell you what, our honesty's tested. And you know what? We ought to be honest, and we ought to be honest at all times. We ought to be known as honest people. We ought to think honest thoughts. Sometimes at a job, somebody's given a command to cover up something and hide it from the boss. And sir, ma'am, you shouldn't be that person. I'm sorry, I can't participate in that. I'm not going to participate in that because the boss deserves to know what has happened. And I'm not going to play that part. I'm not going to play the part of a deceiver. I'm going to be an honest person. Those rocks and hard places are hard places to be. But honesty never leaves you in the wrong place. Can I say that again? Sometimes we're put in hard places, but honesty never leaves us in the wrong place. If you walk away honest, you can still put your head on the pillow and sleep with a clear conscience. And if you don't walk away honest, and you've got a sensitive conscience and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, then you can't walk away like that. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Always be honest. Can I ask you a question tonight? Does your boss, if you've been where you're at, does your boss have the confidence in you that no matter where you're at in this world or in the company or who you're with in the company or what job you're on or whether or not there's anybody else around watching, that they know they got an honest worker? Does your boss have that confidence about you? As a Christian, you being a Christian, he should. He should have that confidence about every Christian. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul said, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. In Romans chapter 12, he writes to the church at Rome, very similar words, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Do you get on something, post something for sale, and then not tell somebody everything that's wrong with it? And try to make money off somebody in a dishonest way? Listen, you want to succeed in God's economy of things? You be honest. You be straight up. You give the extra money at the cashier register, do you give it back when she gave you too much? You stop and say, hey, you know what? You gave me an extra $5 that you shouldn't have given me, or an extra dollar, or an extra quarter. It doesn't matter how much. It's the principle of the thing. We're honest. Be honest. Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles. You know your honesty among lost people is important. It will affect your testimony. You can witness of Jesus Christ dying and rising again, but if you're dishonest, I want you to know it is a major hindrance to that person receiving the gospel. Honesty, honesty, honesty enhances relationships. It will enhance your work relationships if you are known to be an honest person. Here's another one. Show compassion. Show compassion. Pastor Todd did not write this part of the sermon, but I'm going to bring you into his life a little bit. Before he came to Mount Zion as a staff member, Aberdeen Proving Grounds, there were 300 and some odd people underneath of him. And it was a very stressful work environment. And he communicated to me that his emails and what came across his desk was completely overwhelming to him, never able to get done in a day. And the people under him were constantly overwhelmed. And he lived by this principle: I will put time into the people under me and take their cares and listen to their cares. And I will do that more than prioritizing the emails over them. You know why God used him up the ladder in the military? Because he knew how to deal and show compassion to people. Do you understand on your workplace people are hurting? We go do our job. Get the job done. Get the pay. But have eyes to see. Second, 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brother, and be pitiful, be courteous. Sometimes at your job, it may be good to take time to listen over a lunch to somebody's burden and just have prayer with them. It may be nice for you to help the new coworker that is learning the job and be an encouragement with what he's struggling with. Might be nice for you to take a shift for someone who's been down because of sickness or has an emergency in his family and is calling you to fill in. You know, there are all different kinds of ways to show compassion. But can I tell you this? Compassion always enhances relationships. It always enhances relationships. And so another quality. Another quality. Take initiative. Take initiative. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. What is initiative? It's seeing something that needs to be done and not waiting for somebody else to do it, but you do it. It's initiative. The younger generation
is not strong in this quality. We're working with training children. This is one to work overtime on with them. Set up scenarios in your child training. What do you see in this room that needs put away? You going to wait for mom and dad to tell you to put it away? Or are you going to practice initiative? You go and pick it up and put it away without being told. You know what? Bosses love people that have initiative. Because bosses get tired of telling people, hey, will you get that done? Will you get that done? Will you get that done? They love people that learn their work and learn what it takes to be done and do it without being told and see, oh, there's something else over here that I can help with, and I'm going to take care of that. Initiative. Go to the Aunt Thou Slugger, consider her ways and be wise. Having no guide, overseer, or ruler. The ant. No guide, no overseer, no ruler. What does the ant do? It goes about its work. Without anybody to check on it, without anybody to point, without anybody to say, hey, ant, did you think about food in the winter? I got that taken care of. I'm going and taking care of that. There's a good example in the Bible of that, about the Good Samaritan. When others, oh yeah, he's hurting.
Right?
Passed by on the other side, but the Good Samaritan saw the need, took initiative to make arrangements to make sure that this person was taken care of. That's initiative. Did you know that Zacchaeus also took spiritual initiative? After he met with the Lord, he went and made restitution, didn't he? And it doesn't say that the Lord commanded him to do so, I don't believe, in the text. But Zacchaeus, it was on Zacchaeus' heart to do that. You know what that was? It was a prompting of the Spirit of God. It was a spiritual prompting that Zacchaeus responded to, that nobody else had to tell him, I need to do this. That's good spiritual steps when we respond to the Spirit of God. So take initiative. Young people starting jobs, spot, look for things to do and take advantage of doing them without waiting to be told. You want to move up the ladder, so to speak. You don't move up the ladder by flattery. You know how you move up ladders at workplaces? By character. And initiative is a character quality that you bring to the table that a lot of other people may not bring to the table. It'll enhance relationships. And then this is the last one I have in the qualities, and we'll move on next week to warnings of working in a secular workplace. But lastly, be a peacemaker. Lastly, be a peacemaker. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter number 3. Do you like to work with people that are always in strife? It'll wear you down pretty fast to be with somebody that's always argumentative, somebody that's always got a conflict, somebody that's always picking a fight, somebody that's never pleased, somebody that's always got to bring a complaint. All of that is very draining. Can I say, none of that enhances relationships. Here it is in James chapter 3, and we ask for wisdom. How many of you ask for wisdom at your job? You pray for wisdom with your work, okay? A number of you do. And the Bible says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then what? Peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. If we went up earlier in the chapter, we would study the wisdom that is not from above, that is envying, strife, full of envying, strife, and every evil work. What a contrast of what I bring to the table at my workplace. I either bring the wisdom that's not from above, which we can conclude is from below, or I bring wisdom to the table that is from above, and the second evidence of that is peace. I'm a peaceable person. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Say, preacher, I got something brewing in my job right now. What should I do? How do I apply the peacemaking principle in my workplace?
Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 26, verse 20. Here is a good principle. Verse number 20. Where no wood is, there the what? Fire goeth out. So where there's no talebearers, slander, the strife ceases. What's a good principle, preacher, when I'm in the midst of conflict? Don't add any more wood. Don't make it more complex. Let it die. Let it die. Most of the strife at our workplaces are not battles that we have to win. Some are. Don't get me wrong. We get to convictions and we get to stands on truth, those things that will create conflict and unnecessary conflict. But there's a lot of them that if we would just learn to, not going to add any more wood. You and your wife have trouble. Things escalate. What's the counsel? Add no more wood. You can't control your temper, don't talk. All right? And you won't add wood to the fire. All right? A peacemaker is in contrast to a talebearer. A talebearer carries reports from one to another to provoke them to mutual rage and strife. That's a talebearer. A peacemaker says, whoa, too much of this has already gone on. Let's put a stop to it. Let's let the fire go out. A peacemaker is a person who helps others solve a conflict and reach a peaceful solution. I'm in leadership. Some of you are in leadership. In leadership, you have people that bring you problems, right? Conflicts, sometimes inner strife, or there's strife between two people. How do we deal with that? I love somebody that comes to me with a problem and says, oh, Pastor, before you leave, I want you to know I didn't just bring the problem to you. Here are some things that I've thought about as a solution. At your workplace, if you have to bring a problem up, do your best to think through possible solutions. The peacemaker is quick to help others solve a conflict and reach a peaceful solution. Can I help you how to be a peacemaker at work? Because here's how most people live. Most people are non-confrontational. All right? So, when they have a trouble with the boss, where do they go? Not to the boss. They go to a coworker. Question. You going to be able to resolve the conflict between that person and the boss? No. So, what is a good piece of counsel to give at the job place? You got a problem with the boss, you need to go as soon as possible and get an appointment with the boss. And you need to go with the right spirit, and you need to go in right timing, and you need to ask the Lord for right wording. That's how we get things resolved. We don't get things resolved by encouraging them and listening to them pour out their soul about their boss continually to you, and then they go to another coworker, and then they go to another coworker, and then they go to another coworker, and we're not solving anything. And we're not pushing towards peace. Peace happens when we go to the source and we talk it through with the source and we deal with it there. You would spread peace if you would live by that. And you get yourself out of a lot of pickles with people talking about everybody else. And food for thought. If you got a problem with the brother in the church and you come talk to me, guess what I'm going to tell you to do? I'm going to tell you to go to your brother. Which is biblical, by the way. To make peace. To endeavor to keep the unity of the peace in the spirit of peace in Ephesians chapter 5. And brethren, it is not good for us to live without peace with the brethren and not go to the brethren, and neither is it good for you to live without peace with your boss, talk to everybody else about it and not talk to your boss about it. And I understand some people are not approachable. I understand some people are arrogant, but it's still the right thing to do. If there's a chance of coming to a peaceful agreement, the best chance is going to the source, going to the person over you. What do these things do? They enhance relationships. And in the workplace, we want to bring the right things to the workplace. And these things are not common in our world. 70 years ago, people lived by these things because people were people of character, even if they weren't Christians. Today, we have Christians who aren't even people of character who don't bring these things to the table. With God's help, let us bring these things to the table in our relationships in the workplace. Let's bow forward and pray. Father, thank you for the truths that we've learned from the Scriptures, Lord, things, that qualities that you've highlighted before us. And Lord, every one of us has influence where we work. Lord, you have given us relationships there. Lord, you have allowed us to meet people. And Lord, we're an influence. We can be a negative influence, or Lord, we can be a positive influence. Lord, we can be a biblical influence, or we can be a hypocritical influence. And so, Lord, what we've taught the last 3 weeks on just the qualities to enhance our work relationships is vital. Lord, if people are going to see Christ in us. And so, Lord, strengthen us with these truths. Remind us of these things, Lord. When it's crunch time and one of these things is threatened as far as one of these qualities coming out of our lives, bring us back by your Spirit to these qualities, Lord, and help them to emanate from our lives as a result of yielding to your Spirit in those tough places at the job. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Have a great week. You are dismissed.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.